Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up.
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum. Nothing is in a vacuum.
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. This is an episode here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and FF underscore spaceman himself. We are going to roll out the carpets and release these awards. You're going to hear a lot of this. The last time I heard this noise, it was with laughter. And it was sort of a soothing sound. I wish everything that was before it was there as well, but it's not. You're also going to be hearing a lot of this. Rookie Fever Trivia throughout the night. Do you want that to mean something? Do you want one right now, or do you want to wait a minute? Do you want?
Oh, hell yeah. I want one right now.
All right.
I'm ready, baby.
Devontae Smith totaled the most yards for a rookie in Philadelphia with 916 yards, beating a record that was previously 912 yards. Whose record did he beat?
DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Jackson is my guess.
Good job, guys. That was from 2006. That was an easy one.
Yeah, they're never that easy.
Well, you guys nailed it. I'm happy about that. We have the Best Plays Award coming up.
Ooh.
And last week, I'm just going to be honest, when we were doing the nominations for the Best Plays, Dave and Fanero crushed all the work on that. Like, I didn't even pick one. We said I did for show sake. We might have joked around about it on the show. I don't know if we did or not. But for show sake, we said I did. And then I was, like, doing homework and, you know, watching how I watch players. Like, I wasn't grinding film, but I was watching Devonta Smith plays. And dude, I saw one I liked more than that Devonta Smith play. I'm just saying.
I got a question for you, Swags.
Yeah.
Because I saw that tweet. Was it the toe tapper and drag versus the Raiders? Was it the 28-yard catch versus the Chargers where he had to reach out for the pylon and score? Was that amazing two-toe tapper while flying out of bounds versus Washington? Or were you talking about that highlight play where he actually went back for the ball, adjusted between two defenders versus the Giants?
It was that toe tap where he completely looked like he was out of bounds.
Washington. Yeah, that's Washington.
And he caught it, and it looked impossible.
Yes. And you had to watch it several times, and he was literally flying, and his toes were scraping.
I don't even think the ball was technically inbounds,
yeah,
other than the air. And and that catch, I was just like, that's what I like to see. Nonetheless, like, this has been a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching that video you made, Fanero.
Thanks, man.
I feel like from conversation that not enough people watched it before they voted.
Yeah, doesn't that suck?
Daniel.
It kind of does.
Daniel.
He admitted it.
You.
He admitted it.
Yeah, let's see. What did Daniel say?
Guilty
Daniel,
conscience.
Yeah. I voted for Chase, but I should have voted for Javonte. My memory told me that Chase broke another tackle or two, and knowing Javonte didn't score, I went to Chase. I should have watched the video. LOL.
Nope.
Daniel.
Yep.
Sorry, Daniel. It doesn't take long to make this video. It's just, you know, several hours.
I was about to say, I don't believe you, because those graphics before and afterwards are pretty impressive.
It's cool if you don't watch it, dude. Just vote from memory.
Just a part of my life I'll absolutely never.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Daniel.
Get back. Rookie Fever Trivia. I told you I'm coming in hot.
Yes, you are.
How many offensive rookies? How many offensive rookie records were set in the NFL this year, not tied, mind you.
So not franchise.
Oh, good.
I was gonna say we're leaving out the several Amon-Ra team.
Not franchise.
Yeah, get rid of those. Yep. Okay, so just NFL. I want to say four. I'm doing four.
I'm going to say one.
No. Chase broke one. Waddle broke one. Pitts. No. Oh, Pitts. Wait. No, Pitts didn't break one. Shit, three. I'm going three.
Dave?
One.
He said
one.
You're sticking with that.
He's
one.
He's sticking to one. Made me go down to three, modest. Though.
Very modest. The answer
I have no idea. I'm not good at this.
Is five.
Okay, five.
Son of a bitch. Five tell me more.
Records.
And whisper that's into my ones ear.
That were tied, and that's without franchise record. Five rookie records.
Wow, man.
So we had. Are you ready for all of this?
Yeah, dude.
We had Amon-Ra, who beat Odell Beckham's rookie record of. Odell had the most record with 4 games, 8 receptions or more. Amon put that to 6. We had Waddle beat the reception Bolden. Record.
Yep,
Bolden.
But what did he finish with?
The exact number?
104. I think it's 104. I'll tell you in 2 seconds. Keep going.
We had Ja'Marr Chase record for most yards.
Right.
We had Kyle Pitts beat the rookie record held by Mike Ditka for most receptions.
Oh, okay.
There's one more. Do not look it up, if you will. I'm going to save this one. It's another question. There's one more rookie record.
The Mac Jones one?
Mac Jones, that's another one of my questions, but no, it's not a Mac Jones one. You're on to something, Dave.
It's not a Mac Jones one.
Mac Jones tied a record.
That's
so he doesn't quite fit this criteria, but he did tie a rookie record. So you know what? I'll just get it out of the way. I got a few more rookie. Mac Jones tied Dak Prescott's record of having 9 games in a row with 70% completion percentage or better. And he finished the season with the second best rookie, completion percentage ever. And that was also behind Dak Prescott.
They were pacing really, really close to each other at one spot. And I think it fell off a little bit towards the end or something.
Yep.
Well, I was right. Waddle had 104, 104 catches.
Steel trap. Nothing ever forgets. Good shit. Good stuff, Nero.
But they're not here for my trivia. And we've just wasted 3 questions in 30 seconds.
There's no wasting a rookie trivia.
The Academy Awards. Am I supposed to play the music when they're walking out or the whole
time? Yeah, so you go so you announce the category and then you say the nominees are.
Speaking of rookie awards, I might get one for being the worst at this. I'm getting like the Will Fuller award, damn it.
Nah.
All right. So, best supporting rookie running back of 2021. The nominees were Javonte Williams, Chuba Hubbard, and Ramondre Stevenson. Finero voted for Javonte Williams, who actually won this. Oh. Finero. I think Finero, you should read the questions and nominees, and then I'll do the button and the winner.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah, as long as you give me music while I'm saying the nominees' names, because that's when it's supposed to play.
Hey, this is Rookie Fever, and I've got it.
You do it any way you want to do it.
So, Javonte Williams, I think that Twitter got this right. I think that he deserves this one.
Yeah. Nah, this is one that I questioned putting up as a poll, to be honest, but I wanted to see how many votes Ramondre Stevenson got.
Finero wanted to actually see people say that he wasn't a supporting running back.
I think he's like the perfect definition of one for a change. Like last year, we talked about it last episode. Swift was tough. We got a lot of kickback on Swift saying he wasn't supporting. We talked about that last episode, so I won't get into it too much. But Javonte Williams was like the definition of a supporting running back. It was all season long. Typically, it's like harder to define that because like throughout the season, Swift took over. And it's like, well, how can you call him a supporting running back where Javonte never took over?
Yeah, he got close. We'll have to see what happens. Good chance they sent Melvin Gordon back. Did you guys see that tweet that Melvin Gordon put out about how he felt really disrespected because of the free agent running backs and he wasn't even listed on the list?
I did like, not the top see that.
Free agent running backs.
Like, I did not
Cordell
see
Patterson
that.
On there. And
you know what? I might be a little offended if I was him.
Yeah. So he's coming back, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if – I know, Dave, you've mentioned it a lot, if he ends up staying in Denver.
He's a fun Twitter, actually. I think he's fun on Twitter. But no, I think I mentioned it like when we were talking about it, it was like week four or five, and it was not on – you hear everyone talk about that now. But back then, people were just like all Pistons flying and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He was buried. He wasn't even in the league anymore.
Yeah. You joke, but
yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And honestly, coming into the season, that was the fact. Nobody really regarded him as an asset coming into the season. It was like, Javonte Williams will eventually take over. It'll be sooner than later, and he's just not worth like where he's going. Yeah, move on.
Mm-hmm. He had some buzz before the draft, they selected Javonte Williams, but that's about it.
Good team to be a running back on.
Finero, what's the next one?
All right, so the next one is Best Supporting Wide Receiver of 2021. The nominees are Elijah Moore, Josh Palmer, Rashad Bateman, and Rondell Moore.
And the winner is Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
Actually, I forgot I was going to say it. I was waiting for you to say it.
Who did I vote for?
You voted for Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
Samesies.
Who did you guys think was going to win?
This one wrong. I think Bateman should have got this one. I think he was the best supporting wide receiver throughout the entire season.
Oh, I remember. We debated
last
this
week. I think Elijah Moore played the role of the starter when he was doing a lot of his work.
Sure.
So as far as like supporting, I think that Rashad Bateman supported Hollywood very well. I think part of the problem here too is people don't want to look at Rashad Bateman as the supporting wide receiver on that team. But to me, it was Bateman.
Oh yeah.
Josh Palmer actually tied Bateman in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
I don't hate it. I like Elijah Moore. I like Elijah Moore more than any wide receiver on this list, to be completely honest with you.
I now know that, Spaceman has multiple burner accounts because Rondell Moore wound up with 3.5%.
Guy, I can screenshot you. I can screenshot you my vote, Elijah Moore.
Wouldn't come up to 3.5%. By my math, that wouldn't be 3.5%. So it means you have a few burner accounts.
There are some Rondell Moore enthusiasts out there.
Oh, okay. Thought it was just Dave.
No.
Hey,
He's created a few monsters.
If I had that kind of reach.
little baby Dave Zillas.
What the hell?
I impregnated a bunch of different fantasy accounts.
That's awesome. I'm writing
Little heads all over them, like coming out.
Baby David Zillas. It's been a while since we made a new intro. All right. Baby
the biggest David's bust.
Biggest bust of 2021. The nominees were Diami Brown, Trey Sermon, Terrace Marshall, and Kadarius Toney.
And the winner?
Trey Sermon by a landslide.
No.
Actually, no. Terrace Marshall was right up there with him.
Yeah, 12%'s not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Within the margin of error, we could do a recount.
Why do you think Trey Sermon won?
Because he's the most popular one for people to poop on. Like, none of these other players matter to people. Even if they were taken before Trey Sermon, just everybody walked away from their mistakes they made with Terrace Marshall, Diami Brown, and Kadarius Toney. But Trey Sermon was kind of a 50-50 split coming into the season. There were those people that hated the idea, and there were people that loved the idea. So you have a lot of people very proud of themselves that like to have the, like, where are the Trey Sermon people now? You know, like, dumb Twitter people. And but that affects people. And so he's been amplified a lot more as a bust throughout this entire process. I mean, by all means, if you're using NFL draft capital, it should be Kadarius Toney. And after that, I don't know what people's gauge was. But for me, I told you last week it was Diami Brown. And a lot of it was because of some of the shares that I had and how I felt about him going into that situation with Curtis Samuel. And I thought he had a chance. So I think all these guys are busts. I think that we nailed the nominees. I get why people are off of Trey Sermon after the one disappointing season and seeing Elijah Mitchell excel in that offense like he did. I get it. I agree he's a bust.
Yeah.
You know, he won the award. You know, you can't argue with the results, I guess. And Fanero voted Trey Sermon.
No, I voted Terrace Marshall. It's right there in black and white.
Oh, yes. It says the check mark, not the blue. Uh-huh, I'm looking correct. At the blue. Yeah, you voted for Marshall.
Yep.
Who was second?
I feel pretty strong about that, and my reasoning is clear.
I like anybody, that one.
Well, anybody who listens to the show, I was never on Trey Sermon. I'm not trying to, like, pump my chest. I just never was. Like, listen back to I don't know how many different episodes where I wasn't. So, like, to me, like, it's hard if I was never on a guy and never really believed any of the hype and just called it just that kind of like hype. I wasn't there. Terrace Marshall, however, I was all about. I liked me.
I like that Marshall. Mindset. It something I've thought about too with like going into different shows, like bringing Super Flexible back and stuff like that. And even talking on Twitter, it's going to be something that I try to focus on. Like if I'm talking about a player that I'm trying to move off of and sell, I want it to be somebody I have and not just somebody I don't have any shares of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. I'll definitely give somebody's my opinion on what I think they should do in a situation or comment on a poll maybe. But if I'm trying to sell a player, it's not very actionable if it's not somebody that I know how to handle that situation with or somebody that I liked. And, you know, same with your buys. I want it to be somebody that I'm trying to get attached to in a different way, not just somebody that I'm like, yeah, decent deal, but I don't want him or just I don't want to tell you how to do it.
So looking back while you guys were talking, the bus, who you guys thought it was, I was looking back and I think it also depends on what we're thinking as a measuring stick, like kind of Fanero said, because if you're looking at it when rookie drafts are going in May, Terrace Marshall was being drafted over Trey Sermon. Yeah. But come July and August, maybe more July, because maybe Trey Sermon might have been fading a little bit in August, but not really. I don't think so. But Trey Sermon really gained steam in the summer. That's when he really started to take off. So I think in rookie drafts, it was more Terrace Marshall over Trey Sermon. But once the summer came around, it was more Trey Sermon. So I think it also depends on, you know, when we're kind of looking. But if we're looking at just like from a rookie bust as a dynasty perspective, I think Terrace Marshall was drafted beforehand. So to your guys' point a little bit.
It's funny you say that because like my memory kind of merged all the months together and said they were like about the same spot. Like, you know, within a pick or two, especially depending on what you're after. And so like, for me, like that wasn't even a factor. Like I was just like, they're around the same area, depending on what's your cup of tea. But he was on my boards. Trey Sermon was not off of it, but it was way later than I was going to get him.
Yeah. Terrace Marshall much higher in May, like it can significantly higher, but then Trey Sermon was ahead of Rashad Bateman and people in July. No. So yeah, it's just kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of fun looking back a little bit, actually, just like, oh yeah, that's how we were thinking at the time.
I don't know. You want to do best play or you want to save that one?
Save that puppy.
All right. So I'm going to move on to the next. We're going to do best game of 2021. The nominees are Jamar Chase, 11 receptions, 266 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns, an NFL record. Najee Harris, week 3 versus the Bengals, 33.7 fantasy points. Amon-Ra, we all know about his week 17, 8 receptions on 11 targets for 111 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown, as well as a rushing touchdown. And Kyle Pitts, 10 targets, his best game of the season, 9 catches, 1 touchdown, 119 yards, week 6 versus the Jets. I never heard that far into the song.
That was a lot of information you just gave in there.
Yeah. Gosh.
And the winner by a landslide.
Yeah.
Very disappointing, Twitter. Honestly, very disappointing.
Did you invest any thinking time into this?
No, it's seriously disappointing, guys. I'm not saying Jamar Chase does not deserve awards, like out of this world player. What a fun dynasty asset to have. But did you guys even read what these other players did? Like, it really, guys, every time you see Jamar Chase, it doesn't just mean Jamar Chase. I said to Fanero on Twitter, and I truly believe this, I could say who was the worst one of them all and then have Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kyle Pitts, Najee Harris, and you're going to vote for Ja'Marr Chase because you're not even going to read what I just said. You're just going to see Ja'Marr Chase and vote. And that's really disappointing. We need to slow down. Another lesson here, we need to do our own work. We need to do some freaking homework. Like, just, you guys aren't even looking at this. Guys, come on.
That's like final thoughts right in the middle of the show. Slow down.
I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, if you added up his, like, any two of the other people in this category, if you add up their yards, he had more yards in that game.
It was a ridiculous game.
Yeah. Like 266 receiving.
I mean, Swag started off by saying he didn't really see it going any other way, but it just seemed a little 87.8% pick Chase.
What I said stands and holds more ground when we get into the best play. Because we've actually have people admitted they didn't even watch it. And then after they watched it, their opinion might have been different.
Right.
They just see the name and they want him to win everything.
That's a good point.
That's a disgusting America. That's the America we've created where fast you're just food. Like, I don't even care what they did. That's who I want to win.
That's what Rookie Fever's created at this point. No.
These are all rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, who had exceptional seasons. We just five rookie records, one of which we haven't even got to yet. I don't know. Ja'Marr Chase deserves this award, probably. It's more the percentages that you see anytime you see his name with any poll. It's going to look a lot like this. He's going to take like 87%, while three other players who had awesome plays took a combined 12.2. Disgusting. I'm disappointed. Like, if I don't know. I really am. I'm sorry. I'm disappointed. Do better. Do better.
There it is.
Rookie Fever trivia. Just like this, I had to get into this because this is another one, and then I can get off this rant. But it holds true with this. Like, so do you know how many catches does Amon-Ra St. Brown catch out of the throwing machine after every practice?
Is the answer baby David Zilla?
No.
Okay.
But Swagzilla on there.
Yeah, I was about to say.
140.
That's an admirable number.
I'm saying an even 200.
202.
Why?
Close. After every practice.
Is there significance often, to that number?
If not always, the last player on the field. I don't know if there's any significance to that number. I wondered the same thing, and I should have investigated, but I don't know. We'll try to find out if there's
any significance. I mean, Dave nailed it, man. Like, you get to 200. That's pretty satisfactory. Why are you pushing the two out?
202. This guy set and then tied more records than anybody did this season, whether we like it or not. I don't hear anybody saying, like, what if Goff leaves? I only hear them saying, this is what's going to happen. And they're telling you what is perceived to happen off a basic mindset that is following a pattern of which everybody is watching on Twitter. I've talked to people that don't even know that he had games where he was targeted eight times, seven times, then went 4 for 4, 4 for 4, 4 out of 5, then up to the big target games. They don't even know this happened. They don't even know what week he started. They have no freaking idea when he started to gain this momentum. Nothing. They're not looking at anything in the middle. They're looking at the beginning when he wasn't starting, and they're looking at the end when he was hot. You don't set the rookie records, franchise records held by freaking Megatron because of 6 damn weeks. That's not a Megatron rookie record. That's a franchise freaking record. And you guys are just like, they're done with him. Yeah, they drafted him just to be done with him next year. What a tainted perspective that you guys have come to a conclusion on based on other people's weak ass opinions. At me. Hop in my DMs. Tell me I'm wrong. What have you looked at with Amon-Ra St. Brown? It's absolutely ridiculous. The last month of football, he had more receptions than anybody in the NFL with 35. That doesn't just happen with the quarterback you want to call crappy. I'm not saying Goff's an amazing quarterback, but you act like he had everything going for him and made this a successful situation. It's just weak ass bullshit. You need to swallow your pride and do your own damn homework.
But Swags, weren't you told recently that one of the main concerns about Amon-Ra was that he had what was it? How many games with just four targets or less?
Four. He had four. The same amount as Debo. I don't have that in front of me.
I have it in front of me. Debo had three. Ja'Marr Chase, four. Jefferson had one. Tyreek Hill had four. Deontay had one. Evans had four. Renfro had two. And Waddle had another.
Yes, because people want to tell me about the times when Amon-Ra had four. A rookie wide receiver had four targets and caught all four of them 2 weeks in a row. And that was his downside. That's what people want to talk about. And as Finero just mentioned, like those guys he mentioned were wide receiver ones in fantasy. Ja'Marr Chase had as many four games. Tyreek had as many four games. Evans had as many four games. I'm not saying he's going to be these guys, but three players out of 24 that had more targets than Amon-Ra St. Brown's 119 had a better catch rate. Three freaking players. Godwin, Renfro, and someone else. Who's the other one?
That had four?
That had a better catch rate than Amon-Ra St. Brown with 119 targets or more.
Man, I don't have that in front of me.
I'll check in a minute. I'll check in a minute.
And I mean, Cooper Kupp.
And then
people like they want to like talk about Tyler Higbee, and this is everybody. Nobody take this personal, because if you're listening to this and you've came at me with this, you're not the only one. That's why I'm mentioning it to me. People want to tell me about like, remember Jared Goff and when Tyler Higbee had that breakout. It's a totally different offense. That was Tyler Higbee's fourth season. He didn't have 900 yards. Yes, he was done after that. Also, there were two games with no Goff where this amazing breakout, that's the only thing you want to look at and then call it negative. There were two games where this also happened with no Jared Goff, a totally different offense. Campbell raves about Amon-Ra St. Brown all the time. I wanted to mention this again because I'm just saying, do your own work, man. If you guys dug into this a little bit, you would see so many things. And it's not just Amon-Ra St. Brown. But he's a big one in the community right now. And just look at it differently. Like every little thing. When you see somebody like somebody a lot, look at it yourself. When you see him hate him a lot, look at it yourself. Just do your own damn work. If you want to have an opinion about the damn situation.
Anyway, well, you know, Swag,
Amon-Ra St. Brown had a 6-game amazing stretch.
I was about to say that was a perfect time to play the music.
I was just saying, like, Swags came in hot, dressed in that tuxedo for tonight, but he's real hot now.
Sweaty armpits, took off the coat.
I know, man.
Didn't wear deodorant.
Nice suspenders, though.
Just lost like a three listeners. Vibe.
Just lost three listeners.
That's okay. You didn't say Khalil Herbert 25 times.
What award were we on?
That, believe it or not, with that scheme, I had to look it up. I had to look it up myself. I'm like, where the hell did we leave off? Because I'm like, Amon-Ra must have been in there somewhere. Otherwise, I don't know how he got there. But yeah, that was best play. No, best game. I'm sorry. Best game. We are now going to best play.
Oh.
Yeah. Best play of 2021. Devonta Smith's touchdown versus the Broncos. Justin Fields' maiden scramble versus the 49ers for a 30-yard touchdown. Javonte Williams' 36-yard beast mode run versus the Ravens. And Ja'Marr Chase's 82-yard touchdown.
This whole clip was fun to watch. Ja'Marr Chase pulled away with it, as I noted on my rant there. I was most impressed with that Fields play and the Javonte play. Like when I saw both of them again and again, you're just like, man, those are the kind of plays I like to watch personally. Not even being biased.
I was between the two lowest reactions. So we had 4.1% for Devontae Smith's touchdown versus the Broncos, nice catch, which I voted for. And I was between that and the Javonte run.
I think if we use the toe tap one, I might have been conflicted. You know how I like those weird little
toe
taps.
You do like that. You do like, because this was a butt tap. It wasn't a toe tap. So mm-hmm. That's not quite the same thing. But yeah, so I mean, I try to look at it and I talked to, or I was chatting with one of the people who responded to this, as far as like, it's a tough category to vote on. And they voted on Chase. And I said, you know, look, like Chase definitely showed separation. He absolutely showed burst. I mean, so I think it was like 50 yards of that was nobody near him. But when I looked at Devontae Smith, I just saw, you know, excellent coverage by Patrick Surtain, just draped all over him, looking at the ball. So he was allowed to. I mean, he literally was like facing the ball so he could do whatever he wanted. There was no threat of interference. He stays inbounds with both feet. Amazing ball concentration, awareness, climbs the ladder to go up over Surtain to get it. And then he was physical before that to give him just that amount of separation to even clear his hands of Surtain. Yeah. So
a lot of his highlights you see, he's taking a lot of coverage.
Yeah, I'm glad you're looking at those other plays. Like, he's doing that, and he's doing what you love the most very, very often. He has a lot of awareness on where that out of bounds is. And in some cases, like the play you're talking about versus Washington, we talked earlier in the show, it seemed almost impossible to have those 2 feet in. And you have to watch it back in slow motion and almost zoom in to prove it. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And if you don't know what we're talking about, that play is, if you're into this sort of stuff, is worth watching. It's not Ja'Marr Chase, but it's an awesome play.
Yeah.
What I like too about the Devontae Smith, and Fenner mentioned it, Surtain had a really good seat. Like, Surtain is legit.
Yeah.
Corner too. It was not
rookie on
not
rookie, like, by some, the way. Rookie,
yeah, which rookie. Actually kind of added to the play being included, because it is rookie on rookie, which made it fun. You know, a rookie that was drafted over Justin Fields, which is kind of, don't get me started. But yeah, so I think that I really, what I thought was cool is that was too, it was a skill that people, like, you know, the BMI part of Devonta Smith, they didn't think that's something he went and did against NFL caliber.
Physical.
Like,
yep,
he's physical. So that was also exciting. Not only did he show some physicality, but he also then was still able to maintain some finesse on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, there's some replies too from the plays. We had Nathan GN at Nathan GN. I may be a little bit biased, but Javonte, I've seen a few receivers pinball off a couple of bad tackles and make a house call, but we can get a run like Javonte's just once every 5 years. Come on now. Yeah. And I kind of agree with that.
Yeah. I was going to come into this saying I change my answer every day because oddly enough, I think if I really had to rank them, the Chase play might be the last one of the four. Again, he showed some traits there for sure. And sometimes when you get that kind of, when you run a perfect route like that and you're able to get loose and pass the defense, you make it look easy. So there's a chance that Chase just made that look easy.
I was going to say that. It's almost unfair to him as a physical specimen because of how easy he made that look, but he pretty much just like twisted, shook a couple players off, and ran.
He did a spin move at full speed, which in traffic, which
that's fair, right? But he's a receiver, and the catch was nothing spectacular. He caught the ball like 10, maybe 7 yards out. Like,
catch wasn't the special part. It was more after the catch.
I totally agree with you. But that's like, you know, we're literally splitting hairs. These are all amazing plays.
To be honest with you, saying any of these players over him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a great list. I really
Justin
like this list.
Fields in Superflex, or maybe Kyle Pitts. Pitts didn't have a play. He wasn't even.
No.
Did you guys have any that you saw that stuck out for Kyle Pitts this year that can't come to mind?
I feel like there is. I would have to look back. Yeah, I do think there was.
I know he had a couple. I think he's similar to Ja'Marr Chase, though, where it doesn't look that spectacular.
Because he makes it look easy.
Which is good.
Right.
Daniel also commented, we kind of mentioned this one a little bit too. I voted for Chase, but I should have voted for Javonte. My memory told me Chase broke another tackle or two, knowing Javonte didn't. Should have watched the video. Daniel should have watched the video. Damn Ja'Marr Chase.
Are we down to Rookie of the Year?
Pretty close. Yeah, I think we might be.
Oh, no. We still have
one,
surprise.
One rookie record left for this rookie fever trivia. Do you know the player? Nobody has two, mind you. So anybody I've mentioned is none of the players that have been mentioned.
What was the question? Sorry.
Is it
one more rookie record left?
Baby Dadzilla. Baby Davezilla.
It wasn't Baby Davezilla.
Oh, my goodness.
This record was set by a running back, Najee Harris.
Oh, receptions in a game.
No.
No? Targets in a game.
No.
He had 19.
No.
Rookie running backs had more than that in a game? Wow.
Najee Harris' rookie record was the most games by a rookie without a fumble, or the most touches without a fumble, and that was 381 touches without a fumble.
I totally admire that. That is impressive.
Yep.
I think
he tied another rookie record that was a franchise record, actually, and it was three games with 100 rushing and 100 receiving. I believe there's only 8 people that have done that. I might be getting this one a little bit wrong, but he had an amazing season, honestly. Maybe not even getting enough buzz because of the age thing.
I think he led the whole NFL in touches with 381. You lead the NFL in touches, 381. You don't have a single fumble
as a rookie.
Yeah, that's impressive, man. Very impressive. I like you pulling that stat out.
People will jump all over you if you're fumbling, but if you don't fumble, people don't care.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you're so right.
You could have 2, and that's going to be the player's biggest knock. Well, he fumbled the ball 2 times in that one game.
People like Patriots fans, every time Ramondre touched the ball this year, they were worried about him fumbling. He only fumbled it, you know, he had less fumbles than Damian Harris, but people, every time Ramondre touched the ball, they thought he was going to fumble. But, and so they're on him, but then it's they're not giving Najee the credit he deserves either.
No. And he got some credit. Yeah. But not like Jamar Chase.
Oh no, absolutely not.
Jamar Chase's big game ended at the right time. And that's what's affecting a lot of votes right now.
And he's still in the playoffs.
Yep. On a little tangent, I think people are more because I think that Najee doesn't get enough credit. I think people have Javonte Williams over Najee. Some people,
wow. I've seen that.
Like,
I'm not there.
I'm not there either. I like Javonte a lot, but I'm not there.
But I think sometimes people are taking because they're like, oh, they're getting a new quarterback in Pittsburgh, and who knows what's going to happen. I think Najee's getting a little not slept on is not the right word, but I don't know. I think because he wasn't as dominant down the stretch, maybe I'm just not feeling quite the love that Najee should be having, because we're going to start talking about these rookie running backs soon. There are no Najee Harrises in this upcoming class, so I think people need to put some little bit more respect on what Najee did this season.
I agree.
Yeah.
We do have one more category before Rookie of the Year, and I can't believe I almost forgot it. Best Rookie Surprise of 2021. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Pat Freiermuth, and Jalen Waddle.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown took this one home
hard
after all my bad talk.
59.2%, Waddle had 21%, and Freiermuth 19%.
Now, do you guys agree with this?
And I
do. Do you feel like Twitter agreed with this because they want to try to act like Waddle wasn't a surprise or Freiermuth wasn't a surprise?
That sounds true. Sure. Yeah. You're pretty good at getting the psyche of Twitter. Yeah, sure.
But they also got like the highest votes, like out of the other, you know, like besides the best play, which had a pretty good dispersal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Terrace Marshall had a hot, but like it's pretty decent between the three. Decent,
right?
I mean, Amon-Ra went swept it away, but they didn't get poo pooed.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Freiermuth and Amon-Ra are in the same area as far as like, you know, coming in thinking they were going to be good. Just Freiermuth being a tight end, and but Waddle, I don't think anybody really wants to say it was a surprise. Like, no one's going to really want to say that.
I was surprised.
I was surprised about a lot of things about Waddle. I was surprised. Never in a million years did I think he was going to break the reception record. Like, that was the last thing I thought he was. I thought he was going to be like a Marquise Brown coming out. Like, that's kind of what I projected him to be in his rookie year. You know, kind of like 2 or 3 hot games, one to three incredible games, and like, you know, based on like one big play kind of thing. That's how I put Jalen Waddle into that box, and I couldn't have been more wrong. So that was very, very surprising that he did what he did and how he did it. I think there's more left to him. That's the crazy part. Like, I feel like there's more we haven't seen. Like, that to me is the biggest thing.
Oh, I agree, yeah. And that wasn't even all with Tua. He hasn't even played the whole season.
I know, dude.
I was about to say the same thing, Swags.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that makes this show so great, is because you can both, and Dave, I know you were probably the lowest of the group on Waddle, but you can both admit that you were surprised on Waddle. We can all admit that even me, we were surprised by the way Amon-Ra St. Brown finished the season and played the season, to be honest with you, the complete season.
Amon-Ra was in timeout. He was in timeout.
Yeah.
He was in timeout. Good point.
I'm surprised that I'm the one on this particular episode talking about Devonta Smith the most.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to be able to like look at these situations and do your own digging. I can't just like keep not liking Devonta Smith and not look into that situation. That is not fair to what my expectations are for the rest of the world. I have high expectations, but you know, but you have to try to look into these situations, and I'm coming around to Devonta Smith. Now, the one thing I will say in conclusion to that is if you are one of those people that's just like Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to get replaced, you should feel the same way about Devonta Smith. You really absolutely should, because they might fit the mold a little bit more. I know that you can stretch the field a lot more with Devonta Smith, and you're probably going to see Amon-Ra out of the slot like more traditionally, but both those teams are missing a wide receiver, in my opinion, is all I'm getting at. And I'm not going to be worried for Devonta Smith if they get one, or Amon-Ra St. Brown. But if you're worried that Detroit's going to get one, which they should, they better, in my opinion, I think that you should have that same passion for if Philly gets one, because they should get one too.
I'm looking at these NFL mocks, and they got a wide receiver going to Philly in the first round again. Yeah. Like it's unbelievable. I would be stunned.
Everybody
personally
wants to talk about the games that Swift missed, but nobody wants to talk about how absent a running back was in Philly all year.
Yeah.
I don't know, Swags. The one thing you need to know about Amon-Ra St. Brown is he catches 202 balls every practice, while Devonta Smith gets McDonald's for breakfast on game days. That's all
wait,
you need to know.
Wait till he cuts McDonald's out, dude. There's a higher ceiling there, too. He was eventually going to grow up and cut McDonald's out.
I've been in his DMs a lot about this McDonald's situation.
What do you order?
I've actually took over the Rookie Fever account because he's blocked my personal account, and then all those burners I voted for Rondell Moore for.
Burners, yeah, that's 3.5%.
So now I had to like
now
take over the Rookie
you're
Fever
get
account.
Rookie Fever account blocked.
Like, dude, no. At least get like a fruit cup or something. Don't get the freaking.
That might be our biggest moment if you get our Rookie Fever account blocked by Devonta Smith, Dave.
That would be our biggest moment. Right now, I think we only have like a Lindsay family member, Philip Lindsay family member.
We do.
That's an our biggest claim to fame. Something like that. Distant cousin. I think it was an elder.
So for the rookie, one more. I'll let our man Fanero.
One more. Best rookie of 2021, Mac Jones. This is a funny. I didn't think this guy would make it. Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, and Kyle Pitts. Seems like one from every position.
Who's this Ja'Marr Chase?
Where's the kicker?
Talking about?
Where's McPherson?
The kicker.
McPherson should be on this list.
So Fanero voted for Ja'Marr Chase, so I'll try to take it easy on the people that voted for Ja'Marr Chase. I voted for Mac Jones. We don't know exactly who Dave voted for. I'm guessing it was
I Ja'Marr. Voted for
I voted for Mac Jones, man.
Amon-Ra.
Dave had the write in.
Right,
I wrote
in.
How
right
did you not see my write in?
Yeah, I got blocked by the Rookie Fever account.
No, we wouldn't have blocked you for that.
You've been unblocked for that.
Yeah. Special follow.
You guys, so all right. Ja'Marr Chase and Najee Harris being that far off for rookie of the year, that far off.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
86.9% to 6.6.
Mm-hmm.
That far off?
Yep.
Fine, Kyle give
Pitts,
it to Chase.
Kyle
I don't
Pitts
care.
Set a record. Three players on this list set a rookie record. One tied one.
Yeah.
And they only care about one player.
Yep.
I mean,
with the Mac Jones vote, I have a question for you, Swags, because I really want to know how you guys feel about this. Because you have the Mac Jones vote, I think it segues into this question. We did quarterback of 2021, and Mac Jones ran away with it, so we don't have a poll. I wanted to ask you, next year, out of Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields, who's going to win the award at the end of 2022? Who has a better 2022? How about that? Forget the award part. Who has a better 2022, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, or Justin Fields?
I mean, that's a tough question. I would go between Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence at this point. I have a little bit more faith in the organization and what Mac Jones just did. And then Trevor Lawrence's talent, I think that they're going to probably try to bring some weapons around him, whereas we're going to see Allen Robinson go away. There's not going to be as much familiar thing. I mean, Darnell Mooney mm-hmm. will be there, which, I mean, he can lean on. But
new coach, I don't know
what
right?
Mac Jones did. I think it was very special. And he did it with really hardly any weapons. If they add some just a little bit around Mac Jones, right. I mean, to what he just did.
Look at those wide receivers he had.
Allen Robinson's coming to town, baby.
You think so?
No, I think he's a – I know. I've really heard that.
I don't hate that, Dave.
That's a little, you know. That's the Patriots fan of me talking.
How old's Robinson
Detroit
now?
Fan of me, you know, I want him in Detroit, but because he's from Detroit. But I don't hate that actually, Dave. We'll have to see. But yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Mac Jones by a little bit. I think that's a great conversation piece that none of us know the answer to. I don't have a ton of conviction on it. I still am kind of into these rookie quarterbacks, honestly. Like even Zach Wilson, I wouldn't mind getting on the low if I can. And Trey Lance, I'm a little bit curious. I don't think we've seen the last of any of them.
Right.
But as far as the three you mentioned, I don't even care in a weird way. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean to be snarky either, but I'll add them all to my teams.
Right. I gotcha.
I think that Trevor Lawrence looked a little bit better after they.
It was nice. He gave us that one peek at the end of the season. Yeah, I agree.
After they got rid of Urban Meyer. Yeah. I think that, you know, that said, like, he might get more comfortable with the new coaching staff that isn't Urban Meyer and like that.
After watching that Buffalo Kansas City game. And what Josh Allen and Mahomes were able to do with their legs to either extend plays or just get first downs themselves. I'm pretty excited about Justin Fields' second year. And I know I hear everything you're saying, Swags. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of turnover. But there's a lot of change and turnover in the NFL. Mac Jones is probably the safe bet if you're going to go safe. Like if you're actually betting money on it, I would bet with a consistent the track record, the same coach. They just need some wide receiver pieces, like you said. And New England's pretty good at figuring that out as well. So that's probably the safer bet. But I'm most excited about Justin Fields' second year in this group.
The thing with these QBs that stands out for me is that I didn't see anything like that I didn't like about Justin Fields, because like. Maybe you say he didn't look like he was prepared or something. Like you hear these criticisms, he didn't put the work in or anything. You know, I don't see that with Justin Fields. I think it was just a bad situation, and that situation's changed. I think he's, if anything, with the character that we know about Justin Fields, I actually think this kind of adversity could help him. And I'm still optimistic because I'm actually like Swags, and I feel the same way about all these rookie quarterbacks. It takes time to develop. It's rare we see a Justin Herbert. That is rare.
Right.
Josh Allen, while he had a really good, some good fantasy stats, it took him a while to get to where he was dueling out play for play, throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes in one of the greatest games we've seen. So you don't come in day one like that. Mac Jones has room to grow, which is exciting about Mac Jones. So this is rookie fever. We can get excited, but also, we got to remember, we had some really high expectations for these quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence was a top 10 Superflex startup pick last year. Do you think maybe the expectations were a little unrealistic for him? Maybe. And I'm not saying like it's – I understand if we're going to lower them a little bit because of the situation in Jacksonville and everything. But we got to remember, these are rookies. What's our mantra? We don't write it all off.
101 means your team sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even you could even say the same thing for Jared Goff. You know what I mean? You go into that situation where a team has like a top pick and you're their quarterback. The team sucks.
Yeah.
So they're building around him.
And Josh Allen and Herbert were double digit picks.
Yep.
Yeah. They weren't. That's they true. Weren't. Yeah. So
same with Fields.
Mm-hmm.
How that team had a double digit pick is.
So. In conclusion, you know, Ja'Marr Chase ran away with this. An amazing rookie season. Just don't let it take away from everything else that some of these players did. That's all. I like Najee Harris. I mean, Jamar Chase too. But I don't know. His name's just not stuck in my brain the same.
We've been spoiled 2020 and 2021. Value Kyle Pitts, value Najee Harris, value what Mac Jones has done. We've been spoiled. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it while it, like, this is the amazing rookie classes.
That was it, folks. That was the 2021 Rookademy Awards.
Yes, it was.
And a hell of a rookie season from a lot of these guys. I mean, the top end of this was more fun to watch than I could have imagined even going into it.
I agree 100%.
So kudos to all these guys. I hope everybody that voted for Jamar Chase keeps listening. I'm at Swagzilla0G. He is at FF_Spaceman. At Artvark TV has the final thoughts.
I do. Do you guys
hear at Rookie Fever.
Do you guys hear the story about the Chinese farmer?
Yeah.
You did hear it?
Yeah, it's something about it.
All right, so this is for our listeners. So, Swags, you'll have to just button up if you've heard it
before. And for me. I haven't heard it.
All right, so the Chinese farmer, one day he loses his horse. So a couple people in town come up and, yes, oh, sorry, this must be horrible, you know, losing your horse like that. And he's like, well, maybe. The next day, three wild horses show up on his farm. So this, you know, same group come up to him and go, oh, my God, you must be so happy. Your one horse is gone, but you have three horses today. And he's like, maybe. The following week, his kid is riding one of the horses and breaks his leg. So a couple of the people in the town say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I heard about your son. He broke his legs. You know, he broke his leg. That must be horrible. He goes, maybe. The very next day, the conscription officer came for his son to enlist him in the army. But because he had a broken leg, they passed him by. And again, the town's like, oh, my God, you must be so happy. You know, your son didn't have to go off and fight. And he said, maybe. And the point of this story is that you never really know in your life at the time when something happens to you, whether it's good or bad. Because today you don't know how these things will affect your tomorrow or the rest of your life. Just keep that in mind when you hit a bumpy road.
I like it.
Did you actually hear about the Chinese farmer?
Yeah. I've heard that story. Sorry. It's a good I have it's heard, still yeah. good. It's still good.
For those of you who have also heard it, I apologize. For those of you who have not, at me.
It's a good reminder.
I like that one.
I'm taking his apology away.
Nice.
It was a Canadian farmer in my story, though.
Oh, really? I wonder why it became a Chinese farmer.
In mine, his name was Dave.
Mine was Dave Baby Zilla or whatever it was. I don't know.
Baby David Zilla.
Just Dave Zilla.
Yeah, that's
Baby better. Dave Zilla.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Zilla OG.
Yeah, doesn't quite have the same ring to it. We'll see what we can do for you, Spaceman.
But it's not. I might add a couple like OG. I might make it capital instead of being all lowercase though.
What would I be?
There you go.
What would I be? Fanzilla? Can't be Fanarozilla. It's too much. Zilla. Too many vowels. I think Fanzilla.
It'd be like Hotzilla.
Hotzilla. Yeah. My name's not in that at all.
Well, it's the fever.
Oh,
it's the hot sauce.
That's a stretch.
Again, I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at Artbreak TV. He is at FF_Spaceman, all lowercase. We are at Rookie Fever, and we are out. Yeah, get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scout and has never done this? Stupid fool and run. I told you anyone. Size and speech just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever when we kiss.
chances. Fever without blaming you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.